This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two of VSiN Prime Time here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebefe, Will Hill here with you guys on a Tuesday night. As always, you can watch us VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app as well. And you can listen to us live on Sirius XM channel 158, where we're in your ear 24/7. If you were listening to us in the last hour, good on you. But also, you know that our VSiN Primetime game of the night is the Cubs and the Cardinals, and the Cubbies in the top of the first have a 2-0 lead on Michael McGreevy and the St. Louis Cardinals. Looks like the outfielder just made a bad play, to be quite honest, out there and right. I thought McGreevy was going to get out of another jam, but the outfielder did not want to help him out. So it's a 2-0 Cubs. We will take it however we can get it, as we have the Cubs money line. At least I have the Cubs money line for my best bet of the night. But we will put the baseball off to the side for now and turn our attention with what's going on the hardwood. Because to help us break down the news of the NBA offseason, we bring in Las Vegas odds maker, the one and only Jeff Sherman, who joins us via the Progressive Guest Line, and he's on Twitter at Golf Odds. We will get to the PGA Tour because Jeff does have some thoughts on the Rocket Classic in the Motor City this week, but we have to start with LeBron James signing with the Philadelphia 76ers. How do you move those Sixers odds when LeBron signs on Friday to put together, on paper at least, one of the better starting fives that we have in the NBA?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the one thing is, at the time, the market was pretty much 20-1 on the Sixers for the title. I thought the initial response would be about 14-1. I saw it mostly go to 12-10. Didn't have a problem with 12. But then there was a natural reaction. That's the one thing that you have to anticipate is, you, no matter what you move it to, people still want to be involved with this. So there was movement from 12-1 down to pretty much settled around 9-1, 8.5-1 out there on the market. I think it's a little bit too much because that team was already established at 49.5 wins. Their win total just went up a couple. It's like 50.5, 51 now. So I think it's too much of a reaction in the title market, but people just want to play them, and that's what's going on now. And the one thing you have to consider here too is, when they went to 10-1, I saw some of the prediction markets that had Sixers title at like no minus 870. So you're getting the arbitrage and going between it that is driving the sportsbook prices down on it. And that's why I think you see it a little bit over-adjusted.
Jeff, we'll just stick to the East here because it's funny. Femi and I have been doing shows all summer and Jaylen Brown gets traded. LeBron goes. There's been all Giannis gets traded. There's all these fun moves. And just from an entertainment, a talk radio standpoint, there's plenty to talk about. And then I remember, hey, we're a betting network. And if somebody asked me, hey, what's the best bet right now? I just kind of shrugged my shoulders. Like, you know what? All the lines kind of look right. I don't know that there's a great bet. Let me ask you, if you had to bet something right now, if you had to bet against your own numbers, something in the East, is there anything that's worth a bet in your opinion?
I think the one thing out there that is a little bit long, and I know you can look at the top 7-8 teams and say, you know, one of these teams might not make the playoffs if you get to 9, but I still think relative value is the Atlanta Hawks. They're still 80-1. They're high for the East. Not saying they're going to win the East, but I think that they can improve over the course of the season. I think their win total is slightly low. I was a little bit higher on them. They have a young team. They've added some pieces this offseason. And everyone is looking at the big teams and what they did, like you mentioned, Giannis, LeBron, Jaylen Brown, and that's where the focus is. You know, I was high on Charlotte. I was high on them last year, but with the moves they made, their odds have drifted out a bit, and kind of they've moved back in the pecking order. But I still think Atlanta can be a really good team. They were the one team that initially gave the Knicks some trouble in the beginning of that series until the Knicks went on that run. But, you know, that team has some room to grow over the course of the season and maybe frustrate some of the teams that are considered near the top.
This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Ebefe, Will Hill, hanging out with Jeff Sherman, Las Vegas odds maker on Twitter at Golf Odds. It's interesting that you say the Atlanta Hawks because, yeah, like it's almost like we forget what that series was like when the New York Knicks are down 2-1 in the series. And it's like, wow, they might not even beat Atlanta. And they go out there and rip through the Eastern Conference and then ultimately beat the Spurs in 5 games. How do you, like, let's say if you had to rank your top 5 in the Eastern Conference, like, how would you stack those teams up? Because there's probably going to be a really good team that's on the outside looking in. Like, what is your top 5 in the Eastern Conference in the NBA?
Well, I really have the Knicks and Sixers as like 1 and 1A, like really close. And I think there's a slight nod to the Knicks because of the chemistry that we saw from them throughout the playoffs. And it's hard to build that immediately. And the Knicks at the end of the season found that. And that can't go understated, that they're going into next season with that type of chemistry. But I have those two teams close. And obviously you have Boston right there, who a lot of people think took a step back. But I think they're still going to be very tough. Considering the Kawhi Leonard thing, if that ends up going through, I think that they're going to be very good. Detroit, to me, looks like what they did last year. I think they're going to be a good regular season team, but I'm not sold on them for their like title or conference odds through the playoffs. Cleveland, that's another team that's there I'm not sold on. I don't like Miami as currently constructed. They obviously need some more shooters. I know they're trying to work on Klay Thompson, DeMar DeRozan. I don't know if those guys move the needle too much for me, but again, there will be a reaction if they get those guys in the marketplace that will dip the odds. But I don't think this is the Heat's year. I wouldn't be looking to them. So it's really the top three teams starting point with Boston as the third, and then figuring out who's next in that pecking order.
Back to the Sixers. Let's just say, you know what, we get a tweet from Shams Charania that the Sixers have traded Embiid and a couple of draft picks to the Wizards for Anthony Davis, which I think is possible, whether it's now or probably more likely down the road. Would that move the needle? And is there anyone out there that is unsigned or in the rumor mill here that could move the needle?
I don't think so. I don't think it would much. It's funny they'd be going from one injury-prone player to another, even though Anthony Davis says his goal is to play 82 games this year. we all know that's not realistic. But, I don't think so. I think it really wouldn't do much to the odds if they did something like that. And, you know, they obviously signed KCP to help out with their bench. That didn't do anything. They're going to add some of those type of guys on minimum contracts if they can, maybe at certain points of the season. But I think they're pretty much settled where they're at until we start seeing it translate to what they do on the court. And the one thing you have to remember on the court, like I mentioned about Embiid, I expect him to miss some games, maybe have some limited minutes. LeBron might miss some games and not play back-to-backs. So there's a chance in the regular season that you might see their odds drift out from what they are right now.
Jeff, the Warriors, they struck out on getting LeBron James. They were one of the teams that were hoping to get his services. So today, they ultimately re-signed Draymond Green to a one-year deal after missing out on King James. Like, what do you think is the upside of this Golden State team here in 26-27 where it's kind of just running back an older roster that we saw? I guess now Jimmy Butler's healthy or healthier than he was last year with the torn ACL. But, I mean, you're an odds maker, but also a basketball fan. It feels like they're kind of just playing out the string on Steph Curry's career here. Like, can there be a season where the Warriors can at least make some noise in the playoffs, or is this just going to be another play-in for Golden State and probably an early exit?
Yeah, I think it play-in at best. I'm not sold on them at all. I think the market's very short on them. I see like 50 to 60 for the title. I think they should be about 100-1. Steph Curry's injury prone. If he misses any time at all, you're talking a team that wouldn't make the playoffs. So you're putting a lot of stock in his health because they're going to go as he goes. And I just don't like the makeup of their team right now. And, you know, we saw what Porzingis has gone through the last year's missing time. They just, like you said, an older team that's going to have players that miss games. And I don't know how you put trust into that.
Jeff, how do you factor in the anti-tanking rules? I just think, again, back to just more of a fan, even a casual better perspective, the league should just be more fun, have a little bit more juice where you turn the game on a Tuesday night and you know what? It's not a joke. It's not a farce. It's not teams trying to lose. It's competitive basketball. It's more fun to watch. Do you anticipate that kind of a league? And what's the book's perspective here from these anti-tanking rules where everybody, it seems, is going to be giving you a decent effort night in, night out?
Well, you should get that because you get penalized for finishing in the bottom three. So if you look at the NBA win totals, you don't have any team that's less than 20. And you'd think that those teams that are low 20s are going to be trying harder to stay out of the bottom three. So I think that is going to have an effect there. And I believe like the 9-10 seed has the same as the 1-2-3 seed if you end up there percentage-wise. So, I think that you're not going to see win totals as low as we used to see in the past be extreme on one end, because you're just not going to have what we saw last year, like Utah sitting their players at after the third quarter and trying to solidify those positions. So I think you're going to see that effect, and it's taken into account in the win totals.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe it paid off for Utah. They did get Darren Peterson, so they at least secured one of those top guys, those blue chip rookies. But I think as basketball fans and as sports fans, we're very, very happy to see tanking no longer be a part of the NBA. We got about a minute left here, Jeff. We can't let you go without asking you about the PGA Tour this week. Rocket Classic. We're coming off Jackson Koivun winning the 3M Open. He gets his first PGA Tour win at such a young 21 years old. Might be the next big thing in golf. But what do you make of this week's field and anyone that better should be looking at to take home the Rocket Classic?
Yeah, I was on Koivun the last 2 weeks and didn't play him this past week.
Oh,
so that was my bad there, but I would expect this week to be similar to what we saw last week in Minnesota. And two guys I like, Ryan Gerard, based on what his form is right now, and Davis Thompson, 50-1 range, played well on this course, playing better golf now. Ultra-talented player that fell in some hard times recently, but looks like he's starting to come back around right now.
Yeah, man, that bet regret, it gets all of us, that bet in this stuff. You know, it's like you bet a guy, then you lay off him, then he goes out there and gets his breakthrough victory. But hey, this week, Ryan Gerard, Davis Thompson at the Rocket Classic in the Motor City. He is Jeff Sherman, Las Vegas odds maker on Twitter at Golf Odds. Jeff, we appreciate the insight as always. Good luck with the bets this week on the PGA Tour, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
Awesome stuff. That is Jeff Sherman joining us via the Progressive guest line. Don't you hate it when that happens, Will? Like, it happens to all of us.
I mean, how long is the show? We've all got, it's just part of the game. Part of the game.
Yeah. We got about 3 hours or so left, so we can maybe go through some of these stories at some point during the program, but we'll update you on the baseball when we come back.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Circa Survivor documentary is back and bigger than ever. $18.7 million on the line and a new grandissimo format, Raising the Stakes. Episode 2 airs tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern. Watch every agonizing moment of opening weekend, plus the early winners, losers, and storylines shaping the season. If you missed episode 1, it's on YouTube right now. Just search VSiN Live. Whether you play Circa Survivor or just love the drama, you won't want to miss this series. Check out new episodes every Wednesday. That's tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern here on VSiN. Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. He's Will Hill. I'm Femi Abebefe. Thank you to Jeff Sherman, Las Vegas odds maker, who joined us in the last segment to quickly update what's going on in our VSiN Primetime game of the night. Well, Pete Crow Armstrong almost made his MVP case. Was a sack fly deep out to center field, which drove in the third run, and now Seiya Suzuki just drove in the fourth run here for the Cubs as they are up 4-0 in the top of the second against that capital F fraud, Michael McGreevy.
Heisman moment? Is that what you're telling me? Sitting here on July 28th, a Heisman moment for PCA with a sack fly?
It almost was. If he went yard, people would have been like, the market, he might have flipped to the favorite if he went yard there.
Yes. They might have shut down the voting if he went yard there. That might have just been it. They might have been, you know what, first time, give it to him on August 1st. Just have a ceremony before the game where you give him the award. Speaking of one, you and I are invested on Yankees 3, White Sox nothing.
Love that.
Bottom of the second. Hey, long way to go, but so far so good here. Two outs, bottom of the second. As for people that watching, and I don't know if you're watching the game and us at the same time, so we'll just describe it.
YouTube TV.
A little infield pop up. Yeah. Usually the pitcher just runs out of the way and says, you guys deal with it. Pitchers are taught that way growing up. But it was just one where nobody got out of the way as we get a two out single here. Hopefully that doesn't lead to anything. And Garrett Cole ends up catching it, but not before a series of bobbles where he just has to kind of hang on for dear life. And after he catches it, he smiles, he points at Austin Wells, the catcher, and gives a pass interference signal and actually mouths the words pass interference. Very odd sequence there with Cole playing a little, it's almost like he's playing hacky sack with the way the ball bounced around. But right now, like I said, Yankees up 3-0, bottom of the second, two out. You and I are both on Yankees first five money line. Hopefully this two out single does not come back to haunt us. We can get out of here and we can cash this ticket in about 45 minutes or an hour or so.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for, man. Let's. When Cole was bobbling the baseball around, I was just hoping he wasn't gonna like please don't step funny, because he was backing up towards like the mound there. So I'm like, okay, like this could get problematic, but he seems like he's fine. He's good to go. But you just worry with some of these older players. Like, it's like, man, like, just don't hurt yourself doing something stupid out there on the field. But no, hopefully he can get out of this inning, and we're 3-0 headed to the top of the third, as I believe another run has come. Another run did come in for the Cubs. It's now 4-4. I think it might be 5-0 now. Bregman, though, just singled. So now we have runners on first and second and a mound visit for Michael McGreevy. 47 pitches through 1 2/3. This man was overdue for this nonsense. But this brings into question what you asked me, though, when I was talking about my handicap for this game. Like, if you bet the team total, like, you're home.
Over. Everything.
you're home.
Everything's home.
You're home on that one. If you're like me on the Cubs first five, we've only just begun. You know, we're still a lot of baseball to be played. Still need to get a lot more outs before that ticket cashes. So, yes, in this instance, it did work out for those of you that really wanted to bet the derivatives. But you know me, I like to be on for the long sweats here on this program, as we will continue to sweat this out. And hopefully the Cubs can rack up a couple more and get some more insurance here in the first five.
Yeah, and it turned out everything we talked about turned out like, you know, being correct. I was like, all right, Cubs first five money line. Yeah, well, that looks pretty good. Cubs first five team total over. That's already home. Yep. So sometimes there is no wrong answer, but it's not always as simple. Sometimes you just, you know, you guess wrong with this stuff where you can have the idea of how to handicap the game and attack the pitcher, but it's just executing it where there's multiple ways to do it. And when you don't choose right, it's very frustrating as a bettor when, let's just say, it's probably not going to happen, but you know, the Cardinals put up a big number and then all of a sudden, I wanted to fade McGreevy. I did. We lit him up. We scored five runs in the first couple innings and I push or I don't cash my bet. We've all been there. So it's tough sometimes how to execute it with so many markets available, especially nowadays. Props, you know, hits allowed, strikeouts allowed, things like that, earned runs allowed, which look, if you have the right idea, you're obviously in good shape. Cole, by the way, gets a strikeout.
There we go.
Gets out of the inning. So we're going to the top of the third. Yankees 3, White Sox nothing.
To your point, we did see that kind of play out in the first half of the doubleheader between the Guardians and the Reds. Like, the Guardians put up the four spot. Manzardo hit the grand slam in the first inning. So it's like, bang, Guardians up 4-0. If you're holding Guardians first five, which I was hoping to hold last night, but the delay ended up voiding the bet. I didn't bet it this morning, but like, I was watching the game this morning. I'm like, damn, I should have gone back to the well with that. It ends up being a push because Cincinnati comes back with 1 3, 4 4, and then Cleveland has to score in the fifth just to get you the push. So it's like, just because you see a big inning or whatever like that, like, this is baseball. There's no clock. It's about the outs.
Yeah.
So as great as it's looking right now for Chicago, this is far from over. As Ian Happ, is that going to go yard or is that just foul? Looks like it's just foul. He almost had a three-run shot down the right field line, but it was just foul. A full count, though, as McGreevy is trying to get out of this inning. Like, because if that one was fair, he was done for the rest of the evening. That's for sure. So 5-0 between the Cubs and the Cardinals. Some other scores from around Major League Baseball. It's 9-0, Will, in Detroit between the Tigers and the Orioles. That's a game and a series we have been keeping a close eye on with the Tarik Skubal elephant in the room with the trade deadline looming coming up on Monday. The Tigers have responded, at least tonight, have a 9-0 lead on the Orioles. It is off the board for their money line. If you want to bet the Orioles, you can get 100-1. If you want to bet them to go out there and win the game. Live totals at 11.5. The Marlins have a 1-0 lead. Sandy Alcantara is dealing against the Philadelphia Phillies. It was a fade of Aaron Nola. I didn't bet it, but I was like, if I wanted to bet it, it would be Marlins or pass. Nola's been pretty good. Just allowed one run. So like, not like Nola's been out there being a disaster as it's only 1-0 Miami. Rangers have a 2-1 lead on the Rays in the seventh. The Diamondbacks are up 5-0 on the Pirates in the sixth. And the Reds have a 1-0 lead on the Guardians in the fifth. And we are scoreless between the Royals and the Twins. Nationals up 4-0 on the Blue Jays. So that score coming to you from the nation's capital. So those are the games that are going on right now. Anything that stands out to you outside of Cubs, Cardinals, and Yankees, White Sox?
I don't think we can over-dramatize the importance of these Tigers results. AJ Hinch, the Tigers manager, was asked before the game, hey, basically, you know, what's up? What's the plan here? And Hinch said, my incentive, my directive here is don't worry about anything. Just go win the series. Skubal, who I think has 999 career strikeouts, which, you know, who cares? You get 1,000 career strikeouts. Great. I guess it means something to him. He says, hey, I'm pitching tomorrow. This is an important milestone. I'm going to be in a Tigers uniform. So as much as you and I think they're probably leaning towards trading him or should be leaning towards trading him, Hinch, the manager, Skubal, the pitcher himself, says, you know what? I'm a Tiger. I'm going to win the game. So, again, you win three or four in a row, just like you lost three in a row, and we're saying, all right, you go from being buyers or maybe neutral to selling. If you win three or four in a row, and they say, all right, you know what? Maybe thanks for the offers, Rays, Brewers, Dodgers, whoever. Maybe we'll keep them. So this is as fickle as it gets, Femi. I think if you win the next three or four games, if you win every day until from now until the deadline, it's hard to trade them. If you kind of split your games, you probably trade them. If you go in the middle, you're probably in the middle. And it's dealer's choice where, man, I could keep them. I could go for it. You only live once. So I'm sure these conversations that you and I are having every night, I'm sure they're having the same internal conversations of like, all right, one hour, it's the right thing to do to trade him. Let's be responsible. The next hour, it's, you know what? You only live once. The AL's wide open. He's Skubal. Let's go for it. I would imagine our conversations on the air are pretty similar to what goes behind, goes on behind closed doors here, sort of like Hard Knocks with a whole, you know, Saquon Barkley Giants things. I'm sure they're having very similar conversations.
Yeah. So, oh, Philly's invested in him? I don't believe that one. It's like, okay, all right, Joe Shane. Somehow he's still employed, by the way. For those of you who were not with us yesterday, Will Hill is a sicko in saying that he said that he wants Tarik Skubal to be traded to the Dodgers. That is what his wish is at the trade deadline.
I want to see it all burn. I just kind of want to see. I want to see the reaction. It's fun. It's fun watching people freak out.
It's like the Dark Knight. It's like some men just want to watch the world burn. Shout out to Christopher Nolan. He's not up to anything recently, is he? But have you seen that, by the way? Have you seen the audit? I think I asked you last week. You said that you'd seen Toy Story 5.
No.
Obviously, you have children, so it's like your movie selection, I'm sure, differs from a lot of folks who are listening or watching. But do you have plans to see The Odyssey? Or is it just kind of like when it makes it to streaming, you'll watch it at home?
I think the last movie I've seen in the theater without the kids is like, I don't know, American Pie back in 1999 or something. I don't know, exaggerating a little bit.
Which is a really good movie. It was on the other night, actually. They were doing an American Pie like a marathon, or it was American Pie
Trilogy.
American Pie 2.
You don't get away with that stuff today, man. You don't get away with any of that stuff today. Nadia, not happening. Put your phone away. Put your camera away. You're all going to jail. It's not happening today.
The Think Pieces.
Time for a break, I think.
Yeah, you want to talk about seeing the world burn? The Think Pieces, that would be out there if American Pie was made today. My goodness, the jokes. Go out there and watch it. It'd be an absolute classic.
We would all just have to sit around as a nation and just sob and feel sorry that we all enjoyed the movie for like an hour at least, just to repent.
We're going to take a quick break. Michael McGreevy's going to take a shower because it's now 7-0 Cubs. We'll be back with more on the other side.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Well, you know, in the midst of joking about early 2000s, late 90s comedies, shout out to American Pie, Michael McGreevy got chased from the game here, Will. It is 7-0 Chicago Cubs in the second inning. Right now, the Cubbies minus 7,600 on the money line. Cardinals 12-1. Live total is at 14.5. We are going to the bottom of the second. Finally, the Cardinals were able to finally get out of that. After a loud out, though, it looked like it might go yard to where it's like, hey, are we about to be 10-0 here? But no, 7-0, 8 hits for Chicago as they are going ring around the rosy with this lineup. I'm hoping this is enough for them to win the first 5, but like we said in the last segment, I still have to sweat out the rest of this bet here. We are not done. It is not over. Just as easy as it is to drop 7 in an inning, you can give up 7 in an inning as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you look at the McGreevy profile, I guess we'll go back to another late 90s, early 2000s comedy. Scary movie. It is scary looking at the McGreevy profile. Just a lot of low velocity, hard contact, barrels, expected ERA, the expected FIP, all of that stuff was bad. It's just his surface stats have been very respectable, if not, mm-hmm. you know, just downright good. It just at some point this stuff catches up to you. He's been one of these guys, Martin Perez, Cal Quantrill. There's a handful of these guys that is just like, man, you look at the expected stats, you look at what they've actually done, eventually it's going to catch up to him. But here's the thing, Femi, about betting. Just because it's eventually going to catch up to you doesn't mean eventually it's going to be tonight or the next start. Eventually can sometimes take a long time. So that's the kind of the, you know, the cat and mouse game here is a better.
I was on one of those guys a couple of years ago and had a monster ticket. I believe it was like 150-1 for Seth Lugo to win American League Cy Young. And it was a season where he was just like, he was dodging the raindrops. He was leaving guys on base, doing his thing. And like, he had some good outings where it's like, okay, like here's 8 innings and he struck out 10 or whatever. But there was a lot of like 6 innings, maybe walked a few guys, but only allowed 1 earned run. And like the ERA looked so good. And then he had a start, I want to say either late July or early August in Boston. And the Red Sox absolutely roughed him up. He was just like, this was long overdue to come. And then eventually he just kind of like petered out throughout the rest of the season. Still ended up finishing as a finalist for the Cy Young Award because he had been so good with the numbers throughout, but never had a chance to actually win it because it's like, bro, like, you're not the Cy Young. And then they end up voting for Tarik Skubal in one of his first Cy Young victories. But yeah, like for a minute there, I was like, man, could Skubal like somehow like Blake Snell his way to the Cy Young? Because Blake Snell did a lot of that when he was with San Diego, where it's like, hey, you're leaving you're walking a lot of guys, leaving a lot of guys on base. He never really pitched into like the seventh inning or anything like that, but was able to get Cy Young because he wasn't allowing runs. And that's the name of the game. Doesn't matter whether it's strikeouts or you have a really good defense behind you. If you don't allow runs, the ERA is going to look good and you're going to be in consideration for the premier award at your position.
Yeah, I remember that was what, 2023, where Snell won it. I had, I think, 150-1. That one got home. So
yes.
I like to complain about a lot about the ones that don't get home or they're close. That one, I might actually not have the 151. I think Mitch Moss had the 151, but I had a good 55-7. I had a good ticket on it. And he just kept kind of getting away with, as you described, just didn't have to pay for his sins. A lot of, you know what, he loads the bases, but he gets out of it. And when your stuff's really good, you can pitch around it. Now, eventually that stuff catches up to you, but sometimes eventually doesn't happen or eventually happens the next year. And he moved on to the Giants. He's been obviously on the Dodgers since. He's been on a lot of teams. Kind of more than you think, and you forget about Femi, these Dodger pitchers, because they kind of go away. It's like, you know what, they figure, you know what, we need 3 or 4, so let's sign 10. Let's have Glasnow, let's have Snell, let's have just an array of arms here, an army of pitchers. And you know, by the time October comes around, we'll have like 3 of them healthy, and then 3 or 4 of them will be hurt. But they just they come at you with volume for sure.
Dude, Glasnow is a guy where every year around, let's call it May, I'll look at his numbers, I'll say, huh, is this the year that he could stay healthy and maybe contend for a Cy Young? But then, like, I don't know, like,
Spoiler alert, it's not.
Like, there's like a proverbial shot collar that like buzzes me and it's just like, no, idiot, he's gonna get hurt. And then I don't bet it. And then like 3 weeks later, Tyler Glasnow to the IL. I'm like, and that's exactly why I didn't bet that money. Like, I didn't bet him to win the award because, yeah, like it's all there. He's got the tools. You would think that he could get it done, but some guys just have bad luck with the injuries. They get injury prone or whatever it is. But Glasnow, sorry, buddy. I don't think it's ever going to happen for you. But the Dodgers don't need it for the whole year. They just need him to show up in October and pitch well. And if he does that, it's a good chance they're going to be in the World Series and probably win the World Series yet again. So that's what's going on right now in Major League Baseball. We're also in the midst of the National Football League training camps, Will. And the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is out now. Whether you're betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, Rookie of the Year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camps begin. Inside, you'll find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from VSiN experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and more. Get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get. That makes sense, right? So if it does, head to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Earlier, Will, we were talking about my favorite team, the Dallas Cowboys, and how there's not been a lot of drama at Dallas Cowboys training camp. I think your favorite NFL team will be a very interesting training camp because head coach Kevin O'Connell of the Minnesota Vikings met with the media for their State of the Union press conference ahead of training camp. And he said that both quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy, will take reps with the first team and the second team offenses. I mean, I feel like this is somewhat of just like a formality here, but is there any scenario where like this ends up being J.J. McCarthy? Like, I don't think that's in the cards, right? Like, this is Kyler Murray's team. That's why he signed there. Otherwise, he would have probably waited and signed somewhere else that could have guaranteed him a starting job.
Yes, but it's a little bit like we were just talking about with the Dodgers where, you know what, Murray's had his injury issues. McCarthy's had his injury issues. You know what? If you have two of them on hand, chances are one of them will be healthy half the time, and you go at it that way so you don't have to play the Carson Wentz's of the world. But this is going to be Murray's job unless he's just off on camp or unless he's hurt. Come on, say it out loud. J.J. McCarthy is going to beat out Kyler Murray, and I don't care what you think of Kyler Murray. He's still, 14th, 16th, 18th best quarterback. J.J. McCarthy has not shown any flashes outside of being picked in, 10th or 11th pick overall. It's going to be Murray. Murray has at least shown it and done it. Now, week three, week four, Murray's not playing well. Murray's hurt. Does McCarthy get another shot? That's always possible, but I'd be shocked if a healthy Kyler Murray is not starting week one here for the Vikings.
Do you subscribe to the theory that there is a decent upside for this Minnesota team with Kyler Murray as the quarterback? Because we just saw the Sam Darnold lead the Seahawks to the Super Bowl. Now, the defense led them, but he was the quarterback, played a really important position. That. Like, we all saw it.
I noticed that.
And like, this is a guy had done nothing in his career other than have the good season with Minnesota and then see ghosts week 18 against the Lions and, of course, against the Rams in that horrendous playoff game on that Monday night. Kyler Murray's taken the Cardinals to the playoffs. Darnold had never done anything like that except for that 1 year in Minnesota. Could we see this end up being a pretty good Vikings team that contends for the NFC North? Because that's a division where you could tell me all four of those teams win the division, I wouldn't bat an eye.
If I could show you the tickets I had on Minnesota 2 years ago to win the division, win the conference, one seed, win the Super Bowl, I'd be on an island somewhere if those got home.
Did you have any KOC coach of the year?
No, and he shouldn't have won it. That was an embarrassment. I know. This isn't a therapy session. We need to move on.
I will say this to pat myself on the back. I did write about KOC coach of the year in the NFL betting guide 2 years ago. So those of you who have it,
there you go.
That was a bet of mine 2 years ago, 25-1. They get off to the 5-0 start. I'm like, buddy, just let's get to NFL honors. I won this damn bet.
It was a good call, but as a Viking fan, I'm not a homer. I did not expect them to follow it up last year. I was very skeptical that they could back it up. And I said this too about Darnold, McCarthy. I was like, I don't know what they should do or what they will do. I can promise you they'll choose the wrong one. And they seem to choose the wrong one, but would it shock you if Minnesota won 11 or 12 games? They've got, I think, what could be a top three, top five defense. Flores is a tremendous coach, always gets the most out of his talent. They've got skill guys. They've got an offensive line. Again, if Murray can be a B-C+ quarterback, they went over 500 last year with maybe, outside of the Jets, the worst quarterback play in the entire sport. I think Minnesota could have a good season here. There's worse bets than Minnesota, division over 5-1, the whole thing, 55-1. I'm probably not going to get home, but I think that's too high. I think that's mispriced.
And we can put the graphic back up on the screen here. This is the NFC North odds. The win totals tell you the story here. I mean, Detroit's at 10.5. The Packers and Bears are at 9.5, and then the Vikings are at 8.5. This is as competitive a division as you will find in the NFL. I think the Vikings are very, very live to win this one. And if somebody says, here, you have $100 and you must make a bet, I would bet on the Minnesota Vikings at +510 to win the division. When has Kyler Murray ever thrown to a player the caliber of Justin Jefferson? I know Trey McBride is good. I get it. And Madden has him in the 99 club, which is a little bit sketchy, but whatever. Trey McBride ain't no damn Justin Jefferson. let's be honest about it. Justin Jefferson is a premier pass catcher, a dynamic pass catcher. I think you're going to see a very fun version of Kyler Murray indoors on that surface. Whew. If he stays healthy, Vikings will be in the playoffs this upcoming season. That one you can take to the bank. We'll talk some more NFL training camp headlines when we come back here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is VSiN Primetime. Femi Bebefe, Will Hill here with you guys on this Wednesday night. Coming up in about 15 minutes at 9 o'clock Eastern, our buddy Matt Grill, DraftKings trading manager, talking all things college football. Big Ten Media Days underway in Chicago. It's today, tomorrow, Thursday. As a college football, we're damn near almost in full swing. Like college football, they play earlier, but their training camp starts a little bit later. But once we're done with these media days, guys will be back out there on the field, and we'll be inching closer and closer to week zero, where we do have some Big Ten teams playing in week zero. I mean, USC's playing in week zero. I mean, it seems a little strange to talk about USC in the Big Ten, but that's the world that we live in. They're hosting San Jose State, so we got that going for us. For week zero, North Carolina.
He likes to
TCU.
Run it up too. He's not afraid to run up the score. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to chat a little. He likes to run his mouth and he likes to run up the score.
Yeah, Riley. That, they were talking about the Notre Dame and like why they didn't play. Like, oh, like, well, we wanted to play it, and it's just the whole. It's all I'll say on that is it's just sad that Notre Dame and USC are not playing this. It's like that should be a thing. It should almost be in the college football bylaws. Certain rivalries should always take place. It should not be negotiable. You must play these teams. USC, Notre Dame, they need to continue to play. Enough with the bureaucracy and all the nonsense that goes along with it.
It's a different sport than it was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. Some of it I like. Some of it, it's, you know what, when the games are being played and we can watch them, we can bet them.
It's amazing.
It's great, and that's all that matters. It's, you know, we get football on TV. We can watch it, we can bet it. But, man, some of the direction of the sport, I kind of shudder to what is possible, what it looks like, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years from now. Hopefully we're done with the changes, but I got a feeling that the changes are only the beginning here. We're only at the start.
We've only just begun, man. We've only just begun. Like, I know, like, for those of you who are into the soccer streets, it was about a decade ago or so when the teams or the leagues were threatening to do like a super league kind of deal, and that ended up getting shot down because the fans were like, absolutely not. Like, we have to stand on principle and tradition, and like the teams are like, okay, like we might lose money off of this instead of like make a bunch of money. So let's not do that. Let's not entertain this anymore. It barely got off the ground. I think this one might have a little bit more legs in college football. Like, I think we.
What's that look like, though? It's got to be. It can't just be the SEC as their own super league. They would have to bring.
I think it's like SEC,
Big Ten along with them, right?
I think it's SEC, yeah. Big Ten, Notre Dame, and then like some select teams from the Big 12 and ACC. And I think that you're just like, hey, let's here's 40 schools. If you even want to call them that anymore, maybe they're just like affiliated with the schools, but they don't even have to go to school anymore. Like, you know, like I feel like we're headed towards 40 teams and it's going to be like NFL Junior is essentially what we're doing. We're going to play it on Saturday. So I don't know. I mean,
I hope not. You and I aren't going to solve it or figure it out tonight in a 4 hour show. I just, I'm okay with the way it is now, but let's just keep it how it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping it can stay how it is, but when the money's on the table and all these people are, it's hard to make the proper decisions for the health of the sport. It's more so what will get us the most money, and that is the thing that trumps all. Back to the NFL. Speaking of making money, this league makes a lot of it. The NFC North. We were having the conversation about your Minnesota Vikings in the last segment. We're both higher on the Vikings than the market is. Minnesota, I think, will be a playoff team this year as long as Kyler Murray can stay healthy. I think they have a decent chance to actually win that division. A team in that division that is going to, I don't know, get off to a slower start. They're just not going to have their best player, that being the Green Bay Packers, that player being pass rusher Micah Parsons, who the Athletic's Matt Schneiderman, who covers the Packers for the Athletic, he said that Parsons will miss the first month and a half of the regular season. Green Bay placed him on the PUP list officially today. It was kind of more of like a formality. Like, he wasn't on the PUP list a couple days ago, and it was like, whoa, is Parsons ahead of schedule? And it's like, actually, they're going to put him on the PUP list tomorrow. So he ended up on the PUP list today. His likely return, according to Matt Schneiderman, is week 6 at home against the Dallas Cowboys. How convenient for Micah Parsons to return for that game. Their first 5 games, though, here, Will, here's their schedule. At the Vikings, at the Jets, home against the Falcons on a Thursday night, at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then home against the Chicago Bears. And then it would be that week 6 Sunday night game at home against the Dallas Cowboys. But let's say there's no Micah Parsons for those first five games. Are we seeing Green Bay as a team that kind of gets off to a slower start? Like, the schedule looks manageable, not super daunting, but there could be some tricky games there at Vikings, at Bucks, and that Heat in Tampa. Then the Chicago Bears, of course, were able to give them some problems last year. We saw late in the season and in the playoffs.
What are you asking me here? The first five games?
First five.
Over under is three. Where are you going?
I made over under
wins for the first five.
Yeah,
games.
I bet the under for over under.
I would too. How about over under 2.5? I was thinking 2.5.
Yeah, I was gonna say 2.5 now it gets sexy. Because like three, I'm like, if I can push on three, I'll bet that under all day. Because I don't think they're gonna win four.
They're not gonna go 4-1. You're right.
Because I didn't even realize this until a couple weeks ago. The Vikings have flipped a favorite in that game for week one. When the schedule first came out, Green Bay was like about like a 1.5, maybe 2 point favorite. Now it's Minnesota 1.5. In that contest. So like, let's say they lose to the Vikings week one, you know, division game on the road, opening season, you know, like very easily could lose that game. At the Jets could be frisky. I think the Packers should be able to handle them. They should be able to handle the Falcons, Atlanta short week. Yeah. I mean, if you can't, I mean, who knows? I mean, it'll be at least warm in at Lambeau Field. So Tua should be able to operate in those conditions. But at Tampa, I think that's a tricky game just because of the weather, man. Like those games at Tampa in September, early October, it's so damn humid. It's so hot. You know the Buccaneers are going to wear their white uniforms and make Green Bay wear the dark color uniforms. Like, it's just going to be like insane. I think that's a loss at Tampa. And then the Bears game is kind of the shrug emoji. I think the Packers should win it. I tend to think Chicago's a little bit overrated, but I don't know, man. Maybe Caleb Williams takes another step in year two under Ben Johnson. This division fascinates me so much. I don't see any of these teams having Super Bowl upside, but I see all four of them being able to win the division, which makes it the most interesting division in the entire league for me.
Boy, I know you got to tie up your money at under minus 140. And when you're tying up your money until New Year's is not sexy sitting here in July. Under 10.5 looks pretty good. 11 wins beats me. That's not the easiest schedule. You've got a quarterback who can be up and down in his play. Yeah, a team that just gave away game after game last year. And a quarterback not only can be up and down his play, but he gets hurt often enough where, man, 11's a lot in the NFL. If I have to feel for me to feel confident about Femi, for me to feel confident about you winning 11 games, you got to have like a Brady in your prime, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson. Love is pretty good, but 11, I know you get the extra game now with the 17th game. 11's a lot. Under 10.5 looks like a play for me. Let me ask you, what percentage of your bets, what's the pie chart look like? What's the chart look like? Player props, win totals, awards. What does your betting account look like once we get closer to the season?
Real quick, before I answer that question, we actually do have the first five and the wins for the Packers over at DraftKings. Corey just texted us this market. Three wins is the favorite at plus 175. Four is plus 190. Two wins plus 425. Five wins for them to go 5-0, 6-1. One win 16-1. If they were to go 0-5, that's 150-1. I don't think anyone's betting on that. I mean,
the hold is just tough when you don't have a yes no market, when it's not a two way market. And like you said, hey, I want to bet under three because I can push on three. I get my money back. When it's not a two way market, the hold can be just egregious enough where it keeps you at bay, right?
Yeah, it's like, because you have a plus 175 and a plus 190, then like yeah, it's here's four options that are 6-1 or shorter. Like it's not phenomenal. But I mean, if I had to bet it, like if we're just saying like here's some fun, I think I'd actually lean towards two wins given the price. Like I don't think they're gonna only go 2-3, but if you're gonna factor in price as well, I want to take the shot of maybe they just get off to a slow start. Maybe the Jets shocked them when we're talking about the Green Bay Packers as one of those. Because like every year there's a team that starts slow. You know, it's like, oh, like this team actually started the year 0-2. Hell, the Patriots lost to the Raiders week one last year.
At home
is the thing that happened. Like it's early season. You just never know. So I would actually lean more like extreme to the negative to where it's like, hey, Packers went 2-3 to start, and now they have Micah Parsons coming back for this massive Sunday night football game against Dallas, which, by the way, like the Athletics' Matt Schneidman, he even said that's on the more optimistic side that Parsons would return for that week 6 game. There's a chance that it's maybe not until middle of October, maybe late October, perhaps at the Lions week 7, home against the Panthers week 8, although that's a short week. It feels like if he's not going to make it for week 7, they'll probably just push it to week 9 where they take on the New England Patriots. But it's a fascinating team because on paper, when healthy, it looks really strong. They look like they should be contenders, but their best player on the team coming off a torn ACL late last season, and now it looks like he's going to miss at least the first 5 games, maybe the first 6 or 7 games.
And it's a team that had horrible execution, closing out close games, man, including the playoff game against the Bears, which, man, I had the Packers. I still don't know how they lost that game. Just terrible. Missed kicks, you name it. Drop passes, just terrible execution down the stretch.
Yeah. I bet them in the game in December, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. And then the playoff game unfolded, and I was like, damn it, I'm glad I didn't bet that. Matt Grill joins us to kick off hour number 3.